what happened today with the Falcons. They had a scrimmage, guys, simulated game scrimmage. It went really well. We'll tell you what we saw today, who stood out. Also, as we get ready for Friday's game, you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The reason why they did this today is because a lot of starters aren't going to play. And Raheem Morris said, we want to get as much simulated real action, one-on-ones as possible, knowing that going into week one of the preseason. So we will talk about that, guys. Also, Divine Diablo, who stopped by Andy and Randy, you'll hear what he had to say about this defense and his journey here. Mike, by the way, that's another guy we hadn't talked a lot about. I like what I'm seeing from Divine Diablo.
I mentioned, I think, briefly earlier in the week, he is bigger than I think you expect. You saw some of the video from the Raiders. Unless he maybe put some size or hit the weight room in the offseason.
Size matters.
Yes, it does. Indeed. He's a big guy, and you combine him with Caden Ellis. And by the way, we didn't mention, just real quick before we get to talking some dogs, and a strong position about being a fan in Atlanta is I missed the Raw press conference, but I heard from you and the other guys that were there talking about Troy Anderson.
Mm.
And it sure as heck sounds like Troy Anderson ain't going to be playing anytime soon. So for whatever reason, this guy that was a combine darling, and look, if we go on to make the playoffs this year, we can forgive some second-round bust, but second-round picks are not throwaways. And going back to Dimitroff and to Terry Fontenot, it's been a mixed bag at best for second-rounders, but this guy just can't stay healthy. And when you see the kind of the work that Nick Benito and the record and what he's getting on the field as far as sacks and pressures on that good defense, it's just one of those I think the Falcons wish they had back. But either way, Troy Anderson, I think Raw was being a little cryptic, but talking to a lot of the media, it sounds like we're not going to see him for a long time.
Yeah, and look, we've hinted towards this. We'll see what the final roster cuts look like, but I think you're right about this, and I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody. We've not seen him since camp started, and it doesn't get better when you're not on the field as camp continues to progress. You are slowly but surely losing your opportunity every day because somebody is showing up. This is the NFL. So, Mike, you know, not to be crass, but I need guys that are going to play on Sunday and be out there and trying to win games for this community, man, and win the games for Atlanta. I don't need guys that can't play.
No.
And so that's where Troy is, and it's unfortunate because the high expectations for him was off the charts with what he did last year for the short period of time he was out there.
He is kind of the definition of a combine darling in the sense that he was a guy from a small school that played multiple positions but really had only played linebacker for like 2 years. And so – and guys go, well, it's always easy in hindsight. No, it's not.
No.
It's not complicated. Here's a guy from a big program in Oklahoma. Name is Nick Benito. This guy's got 28 sacks for the Denver Broncos. That's a big number in just 3 years. That's impressive as heck.
It is.
You know, and Troy Anderson has missed more time than he's played in his career here. So, again, it's a results-driven business. He's a really good young man. We saw how athletic and dynamic he can be. He helped. You probably don't win that Saints game without him with the pick six.
True, true.
At Mercedes-Benz earlier in the season, but can't stay on the field.
Look, I'm not going to dive too much into this, but I do want to lay out why we're asking you this question. If you're from the A, you're from Georgia. And I know we have a lot of transplants here, right? It's just what it is. Many of us flew here. Many of you were born here. Born here, bred here, gonna die here. But if you're from here, and I have a friend and a neighbor who asked me this the other day. Actually, we got to talking, and he wanted to know how the teams were doing. And I said, hey, you know, who's your squad? And he said, man, I don't really cheer for, you know, Atlanta teams. And I said, wait a minute, aren't you from here?
What?
And he said, yeah. I said, well, why not? Like, what happened? Did you have a bad experience or something?
Right.
He said, nah, I just, you know, all my teams, I cheer for other teams. And, Mike, I just had a hard time understanding that. And I got to tell you, we've all had rough times with anywhere you're born or raised. And, by the way, the dumbest thing I ever heard when I got here was, you know, Delta flies every day. Because when I was five, I wanted to be here, and I didn't have a choice, you know, to live where my parents lived. None of us had that opportunity. Wherever you were raised is where you were raised. But now that you're here, and I know a lot of you who have come to Atlanta have taken on the teams. You've adopted this team. Great. That's what it should be. You should be caring about the team in which the city you live in. But if you're from here and you're not cheering for the teams, I don't understand that. And Gordon is our on-site engineer, College Park dude. Like, he's shaking his head right now. And I'm like, I just didn't get that. And I apparently am not the only one, because I kind of put this out on social media, and there were other people like, yeah, man, I have a hard time cheering for the home teams too. Hard time or you don't cheer for
them? Yeah, I mean, what is it about? I mean, again, Carl just laid it out. If I had known that I was going to be doing radio for 20, God, it's been a while, man. If I was going to be doing radio for 27 years in Atlanta, I'd have told Dad to move us down to Georgia. You know, I don't think I could have probably gotten into Georgia back in 86. I went to Florida State. But growing up, that's why I always try to draw comparisons, because if you were a Braves fan in the 70s, it's like being a Mets fan in the 70s. With few exceptions, it was basically a lot of depression, a lot of bad baseball. But Carl's heard the story so many times now, he could probably do this bit by himself. But when I asked my dad, why aren't we Yankee fans? My father said, it's easy to be a Yankee fan. They got all the money. They got all the stars. He goes, it's hard to be a Mets fan. You know, but we are the people you should root for. We're the underdog. The Brooklyn Dodgers were the first guys to integrate baseball with Jackie Robinson. Yankees didn't have a black player till the mid-50s. It resonated with me. He goes, we're the guy that really embraces what the city is. It's a city of immigrants. It's a city of everything coming together, the best of America. And my dad says, someday when we win, it'll be twice as sweet. And luckily, I was able to be there in 86 when it happened with my dad. But that's, guys always ask me all the time, why are you a Falcons fan? Because I was a Mets fan. You know, because I learned the hard way. Sweat equity, heartbreak equity, that's the definition of being a fan. And I get it. Maybe younger people, it doesn't matter if you're younger or older. Some guys don't want to put that work in. But I will never understand guys who have a Lakers jersey, a Yankees hat, you know, in their closet. I mean, to me, I lived in Miami. I didn't know the Dolphins from Adam. I just said, I want to be involved with the community. I want to be a sports fan in this city. Mm-hmm. I bought Dolphin tickets. And don't get me wrong, it was a lot of fun when Dan Marino was there with Shula.
I agree. Everywhere I've been, whether it was Dallas or Houston or Denver, and they're all different cities, you try to engage and get involved because you want to know what's going on with the sports teams. Here's the thing that he told me, and I just found it interesting, and you guys can hit us up. Michelle King, we love you. She is a longtime Dukes and Bell listener. She lives in Washington State now. She just hit me up. She says, you know I'm a Georgia native, born and raised. Ain't no way I'm cheering for the Seahawks. Go Falcons, go
Braves.
She's
on the Odyssey app every day, by the way. Go you
Hawks.
Should, too.
And here's the deal. He told me, and to your point, Mike, this is what he said, because I said, why? And he said, because when I was growing up, none of our teams won anything. And I found myself cheering for the teams that were winning. This is the front-running thing that you were talking
about. Which I don't vibe.
Right?
Everybody's sports DNA is different.
It's different.
I was just raised, you got to put the work in, because someday the worm will turn.
Well, I'm saying this because I got to tell you guys something. And I told Mike this 10 years ago, because we had this conversation about this city. And look, we've come in, and we have a great show, and we're fortunate that you guys make us. But at the end of the day, I said this was a gold mine. And the reason why is because our teams had not peaked yet. The Braves had great success, but all these other teams hadn't peaked. This was prior to Atlanta United. And I said to Mike, when the Falcons take off, and it might just be starting, hear me. This playing is going to get crazy. Georgia has been fortunate enough to win back-to-back. Now everybody's on Georgia. Everybody that won Georgia fans, all of a sudden now are Georgia fans, because Georgia's really good now. And there are a lot of you out there who are listening right now who you didn't want to cheer for Georgia. And now you are, because you know they're good. There are a lot of people who have not been vested in these Falcons who are not necessarily hardcore Falcon fans, Mike. This team could get good. And when it does, you know what's going to happen.
The bandwagon will have plenty of space.
It's going to have space.
And we're not going to be exclusive. We'll be inclusive. But still, the fans who know and they're there, that we see every week.
Put it in, man.
The 55,000 hardcore Falcon fans.
Put it in.
That are not sitting in those seats four deep from the bench, drinking those big gin and tonics, whatever you drink. The fans who are sitting in the 200s in the corners, the 100s in the corners, and the 300 up top, you know, that are the real Falcon fans. Look, I hate the way the stadium was designed. I don't hate the stadium. The stadium's amazing. I don't get corporate hospitality. I don't give a flip. I had to catch myself.
Thank you.
I'm just there for the football. I love to have a bar that's convenient and food options, and that's great. I'm there to watch football, but I'm the exception, because everybody now wants all the bells and whistles for baseball, football, and basketball.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. If you're on either side of this, you can hit us up, text us, let us know what you think. I just found it interesting to have this conversation with friend, love the dude. But when he said that, I was like, how are you going to be from here? You know how many people I meet every day? Like, I'm a Grady baby. I met a guy the other day. He had a Grady baby tattoo on his arm.
Oh, my goodness.
You talk about being proud from being here, right? And I'm like, hey, you from Atlanta? He's like, come on, man. Tapped his arm. I'm like, oh, state of Georgia outline, Grady baby. There's pride that goes into this. And if you're not from here, I wouldn't ask you to be invested like that. Maybe you've been here like Mike. Maybe you've been here like me, 15, whatever it's been years. And now this is where I'm at. Right. My daughter has more Georgia in her than she has anything else. She was raised here. Atlanta's her home. This is what she talks about. That's us. So I don't know about you, but, Mike, there are people here who have raised their kids who have come from somewhere else that these are their teams now. This is who she relates to and who she likes to watch.
Right.
I don't understand how you could be like, yeah, man, I'm here, but I don't really cheer for the teams. I just don't understand it.
Well, you and I have talked about it. It's Dukes and Bell guys live from Buffalo's Cafe here in Flowery Branch. Come on, join the party. We're here till 6:30 tonight because we got somewhat United pregame. So we're going a little extra tonight for you. But we talked, Carl, you hit on it. It's hard to root for a bad team. Now, the Falcons for years never had back-to-back winning seasons, and then things change. We know what happened in Super Bowl 51. We talk about it almost every day. But I don't turn away from that. I mean, we've had 7 years without the playoffs, and I get it. For many fans, that's hard to deal with. If you feel the team isn't being run properly, that's why, guys, I rant and rave about the Braves, because the Braves are, the last couple of years, were this close.
This close.
You need to put it over the top. And they didn't do that. And now we're in another place. We'll see how they address it. But the Falcons, guys, you can go from worst to first in the NFL. It happens all the time. It's happened in this division a number of times. But I'm with Carl. Not telling you how to be a fan. Not telling you how to spend your money. But I was raised to put in the hard work, the sweat equity. Yes, I'm a New York Rangers fan. When we get a hockey team, if we get a hockey team in Forsyth, I don't know how many times I'll get to go.
We're
going to
be all over.
But I'll be all in.
We're going to be all over.
But I'm with Carl. I just think... Once you plant some roots for your kids, hey, yeah, you know what? We're going to go see Grandma and Grandpa in Chicago. We'll go see a Cubs game or a Sox game or a Bears game. But your heart's in Atlanta.
That's it. 404-726-0929. Had to have that conversation with you guys today because I just found it weird. And, again, you go to other cities. I'm in all of them. Go to Ohio and ask somebody if they're from there that they ain't cheering for the teams. That they're
right.
There's no way it's happening. Go to Philly and ask them who they're cheering. Like, it's not happening. And your excuse for that is, well, they're not transplant cities. Bullcorn. They have people from all over as well. It's ingrained that if you're from there, these are the teams I'm cheering for.
Right. Now, again, that's what made United so successful from the jump. Everybody could get on board from the jump. Unfortunately, the last couple of years, they haven't lived up to it.
Good stuff. We're coming back. We'll tell you about the Dogs and whether or not they can keep this home streak alive. Also, Andy and Randy's interview with Divine Diablo.
Divine Diablo?
And what Mike and I saw at the scrimmage today, guys, it was pretty good stuff.
It's good.
It's Dukes and Bell. Appreciate all the input on that conversation Mike and I were having about being from here and not cheering for the home team. Just an interesting thing, man.
It's funny. A lot of responses. A lot of guys agree. Some guys, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but some guys feel if an organization in their minds is incompetent to the point where you lose all confidence in you, now it's all bets are off and you shouldn't or have to root for them anymore. I do get that side. I do have the awkward.
It's fair.
The awkward position of defending a team sometimes. Do you argue against what they're doing? But I get that.
I do. Hey, man. We're out here again, Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch, hanging out. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We'll be out here till 6:30 tonight, 3446 Winder Highway in Flowery Branch. Tomorrow back in the studio, which I don't even know what the studio looks like because we've been on the road for like the last 2 weeks.
It's been so long.
It's been a long time.
By the way, is there anybody in the flooring business? We have a job for you.
Oh, no doubt. We do need a new floor there. But Friday, Thursday and Friday.
Don't be a company man, Day-Day. I'm just saying. We haven't been in the studio in a while.
Look,
a lot of scuff marks.
The bamboo flooring that was originally put in there.
Yes.
Okay. And I can say this because our former boss was like, which one of these do you like? And seriously,
it was a beautiful choice.
And I said, "Are you serious right now? It's a floor. I don't care. We're not picking my home. I don't care." And he had all these different designs, and it lasted for about, I don't know, 8 years. And since then, it's been crap. So it's just what it is. But we'll be back in studio Thursday and Friday. I know Mike Conti's like, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." Hey, man, let's get to talking some dogs. Mike, first things first, let's talk about what Mike Bobo said today because I found this interesting.
Big article, by the way, just dropped on Dog Nation from our good friend Connor Riley,
about
Bobo.
Well, look, first of all, your criticism of Bobo before we get into what he had to say, criticism.
I just don't think it's anything. I was talking to some dog fans at the bar earlier today. You're here at Buffalo's. Just sometimes you zig when – I think he zigs when he should zag. Run the football. Now, again, limitations. If you feel the defensive line is dominating the line of scrimmage – I don't know. You're looking for a stalemate. You have to establish the run to create the play action, which I think Georgia should depend on. I don't know where this goes this year. I'm not a fan of Bobo. I think there's better guys. Always go, who? Take any of the elite offenses and find an assistant from that program. Where do you think these guys come from? And I don't think Kirby is married to Bobo as much as you think he is, but there's a great article at Dog Nation. Quote, anytime you start a football game, you'll want to start fast. It's from Mike Bobo. We always talk about starting fast. He goes, you go through it, and a lot of it was execution issues. Sometimes, being quite frank, it was a little bit being conservative in those situations. See, I think he even talks himself out of running the football. Mm. I mean, when your quarterback is throwing picks every freaking possession, run the damn ball. Alabama, yep. First half.
Yeah.
Case
yeah.
in point.
He said, as far as his health, he says, I feel great. He says, I'm probably excited or as excited as I've been ever been, and I'm not trying to prove something. Mike Bobo says that he's working to fix Georgia's offensive woes from a season ago. When you say that, you know, this whole self-scout thing we talk about, and, you know, where was our offense last year? He knows that it wasn't what it should have been. So, Mike, there is pressure on him. I know you think there's more pressure on the offensive line coach and Stacey Searles as well than maybe Mike Bobo. They go hand in hand. But
right.
That offense is not winning you a national championship with the way it was handled last year. It's got to be better.
I mean, guys, it's funny. I talk to dog fans, and look, I could pick five games. I just pick on the last game of the season. It happened to be Notre Dame down in New Orleans, where you got manhandled. They were living in your backfield. You know, we talk about, you know, Notre Dame and all the hype over the years for Brian Kelly. Marcus Freeman really got that team. He may have struggled initially, Carl. He's got a machine. They're going to be a machine again this year.
Yeah.
They kicked your butt. And so I could talk about Ole Miss. Ole Miss kicked your butt. You know, Georgia Tech kicked your butt at times. Now, eight overtimes, I mean, that game could have gone either way. But this is the world you're living in. There's everybody, the playing field has been, for the most part, leveled. We'll see if Texas has more depth and how they handle it. But everybody else, and this goes to Ryan Day breaking in a new quarterback. The pressure on Penn State. Some guys think Penn State's going to be, they think now that, Carl, this year Penn State is what Michigan and Ohio State have been. The team that kept their upperclassmen with a returning star quarterback in Drew Aller. So we'll see. They got to handle their schedule's a cakewalk for the most part.
You know, I have them coming out of the Big Ten.
They never beat, let's be honest, they never win those big games against Ohio State and Michigan. Maybe this is the year.
Yeah.
But getting back to Georgia, your margin for error is so slim. That's why I harp on the coaching, because that's where the little things make the difference.
So here's the other part about this as we talk dogs here, and then we're going to let you hear Divine Diablo. We'll give you our take and certainly our observations coming up at 5 o'clock with the Falcon Report about today's scrimmage. It was live. It was a simulated game scrimmage, guys.
It was hot.
It was. First team on first team. It was good stuff. The other thing that we're thinking about is, guys, is Georgia going to lose a home game this year? They haven't lost since October 14th, 2019. Against South Carolina. It's the last time. You're talking about a long span, and I think a range of something like 40-some-odd games since the last time they lost at home. But, Mike, you have to play Texas and Alabama at home this year. And those are the two games, by the way. Every other game they should handle. But if you were to say, hey, they might lose a home game this year, those are the two games that you look at. And I know Kirby and everybody at Georgia takes pride in defending their home field, as they should. But it's been a long time since they lost a home game. Is this the year?
Well, is Steve Sarkisian going to have a three-game losing streak to Kirby Smart?
Because
that's what happens if Georgia handles their business between the hedges. You know, we're going to see, and what I mean, that game's going to be insane. By the way, plan ahead. We're going to be, I think we're at Grindhouse, we've already talked about there on Lumpkin. It's going to be an amazing weekend. Barbara Dooley will be with us.
For the Alabama game.
Alabama, and that's Alabama, Georgia. But the Texas game is going to be bananas. But, Carl, are you telling me Steve Sarkisian is going to have a three-game losing streak to Kirby Smart in 2 years?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, look, we already think Kirby's a better coach, period, right now with what he's done. If he does that, and again, I don't know who'll be favored in that game. Maybe Texas comes in as the number one ranked team, which would be more motivation. But Georgia being at home, my guess is, Mike, they should be favored. But if Texas is number one, they will probably come into that game favored. I will tell you, if he loses again, it's more proof that Sark, in these big games, cannot get his team over the hump.
Texas is going to beat Ohio State?
Yes. That game they're going to win.
You know what? Ryan Day, even though he won the Natty, it's funny. I told Carl, we're down in the Keys. We're going to get to the interview in just a second with Divine Diablo. Down in the Keys, running to people from Ohio, you just won a national championship under Ryan Day, and they're still upset about losing 4 years in a row to Michigan.
Yeah, as they should be. You got to beat your rival. Speaking of Divine Diablo, one of our linebackers, and I think he's going to be a starter for us, guys, had a chance to visit with Andy and Randy. First thing they asked him was why he chose the ATL. Divine Diablo, that is, talking with Andy and Randy. We'll hear it here in just a second on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I caught up with Tyler Allgeier. If you missed that interview, you can always go online at odyssey.com and check it out. Coming up next hour, we'll replay that for you. And Caleb McGarry coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Trying to give you as much Falcon content and coverage, guys, as we possibly can here, leading up not only to the first preseason game, but also the start of the season. Want you guys to get to know as much about these guys as we possibly can.
And we didn't know much about Divine Diablo, just playing for the Raiders and in the mix rotationally. And this guy's actually, led the team in tackles. He's been a star. We don't know much about him, but I will say, bigger than what I thought he was going to be.
Yes.
And he really does kind of fit what they want to do under Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it Randy Oren back at the ranch?
Well, Mike, and here's the thing. He was in coverage today a couple of different times, running with wide receivers, which I absolutely loved. And that is one of the reasons why Raheem Morris wanted to go out and get him, is because of his ability to do that. All right, let's hear from Divine Diablo, man, with Andy and Randy.
I came here for a visit. Everybody was just into the football program, like the cafeteria, the coaches, trainers, just the whole ordeal, and I just felt welcomed here. They wanted me, and I wanted to be here.
That's great. That's what everybody wants to hear. For folks that maybe are the fans that are listening, the Falcons fans that are listening, that might be a little unfamiliar with your game, tell them what type of player you are.
I'm a fast, physical player. I like to hit, and I just like to make plays, man. I like to play for my team and go from there.
What has your role been so far? Because obviously, you just talked about it, and when they signed you, that was the first thing they told us about you was the speed part of your game and everything. So as your role is being defined right now, what do they have you doing more of? Is it more you're in for coverages, or are you in on, like, third downs? I don't want you to tell us all the beans, because I know Robbie having an inch to the ground and everything. But explain to us a little bit about your role.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty much on the field for all downs. They want me in running, like when they run the ball, they want me in coverage, all that. I'm just going to be like a jack of all trades, right, lack of better terms. They just want me to be a playmaker, and that's what I plan to be.
Divine Diablo joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch. It's not your first training camp. You've been in the league for a number of years, like Randy mentioned, but it's your first camp here.
Yes, sir.
How is it different being with the Falcons versus where you have been?
I will say the heat is different here. It is different. You got to get used to it. But outside of that, man, the guys take care of you. The coaches take care of you. But we all obviously come to work when we need to come to work. And I appreciate that. It's very competitive here. That's been different from these past few years. Not as competitive as other places, but very competitive here. We come to compete every day. If the offense wins one day, the defense is going to come back strong the next day. And that's what I like.
You're still a relatively young player in this league. I mean, this is going on year five right now.
Yes,
sir. And I asked you about man, you call me sir again. It's going to be some problems.
Oh, my fault.
All right,
this is
a problem. All right.
Disrespectful.
Well, you are a knight.
Yeah.
So, sir, I mean, maybe sir, he knows that.
Yeah. But, I mean, tell us about your game and how, obviously we were just talking about the youth of the defense right now and having to have what we would say back in our time was, you got to become a vet fast.
Yeah.
Technically, you are a vet. How has your game evolved from when you first got, just like these guys now, to where you are now?
Well, I came in a safety. Like, they moved me to linebacker as soon as I got to the league. So it was a learning process for me. I feel like now I got a good feel for it. And now I'm just helping other guys come along and just trying to help this defense become better.
Talk to us about that, because I was reading up on you, and obviously coming out of high school into college, you had played wide receiver and played really well.
Yeah.
And then in college, you're playing the position you're playing, and then you're a safety, and now you're playing some linebacker. Like, obviously that's hard to do at this level, but is there an advantage to that as well, having played in multiple spots all over the field?
I feel like play recognition sometimes comes easier for me. I feel like I look at the whole picture instead of just focused on the box. That does help out a lot. Having an idea of route concepts behind me is also a good plus. So, yes, it definitely helps out a lot. The only thing I needed to learn was them O-linemen, man. I had to learn how to address them and get off of them.
What about, because we just talked about the young players. I mean, obviously you drafted two pass rushers in the first round here. What have you seen from those guys as far as we know? I know with Jalen, he's been off to the side, but he's back now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've been hearing about James Pierce. Yeah, you know, as far as being a great pass rusher, but other stuff also.
Yes, sir. They're both physical players. I like the way they come to play every day. They're looking to just help this defense as well. Obviously, they got a lot of room to grow, and I'm excited to see them play in this preseason. Obviously, I continue to help them, but as far as all I can say is they've been coming to play.
Divine Diablo joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as practice is over for the day, at least the on-field portion of practice. Is there a loudest voice on that side of the ball? Does it feel – because obviously Grady Jarrett had been here. You weren't teammates with him, but he had been here and had been considered the leader of that side of the ball for years. Is there a guy that stands out to you early in camp that's sort of the loudest voice on defense?
Right now I'd say either Caden Ellis or Jesse Bates, one or the other. I feel like they both come get the defense riled up when we need it, and those two guys are very good leaders.
How's it playing with Caden? Because he is, you know, he's a returning starter here at the position. Obviously, you're new here. We haven't seen the other starter from last year in Trey Anderson, but you're in there with him. How is it working with him? We love talking to him.
Yeah.
Such a good dude and very informative. How is it playing with him on the field?
Awesome dude, man. He makes my job easy. I feel like whenever I'm not in the right position, he covers me. Whenever he's not in the right position, I cover him. It was just like we were working together, like on a string. And I feel like he makes my job easy.
Diablo with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Buffalo's Cafe. Mike Bell, we got some guy talk coming up.
Yeah, man. We started the show, and Carl knew something was wrong. Something was amiss. I wound up with a devil's haircut. I went to the wrong place, didn't have my regular haircut. The listeners have signed off. Some guys are saying I should shave my head, Carl.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. But wait, there's more. They're using fake robotic rabbits in the Everglades to trap snakes? I know that's a tease. Stay tuned. I'll explain.